Okay, so to the middle of the very lumdish aspect of the sigya of Shei Bal Tasa, trying to understand what exactly is the geder of Shei Bal Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh. Right, we know the words mean passive versus active, but we know from many makoros that, of course, it's not as simple as that. What defines active? What defines passive? So we basically yesterday developed three different approaches in terms of what is the geder of, right, three different approaches in terms of what is the geder of Shei Bal Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh, along with what is the reasoning, what's the ta'am behind the chilek between Kum Va'aseh and Shei Bal Tasa. So let's do a quick recap of the three approaches. We'll bring it back to, you know, the different shitos on Kavod HaBrios, and then we'll move forward. So the three approaches are as follows. All right, the first approach is that Kum Va'aseh and Shei Bal Tasa is all about the guf ha'iser, which all means that it's not just practically whether you were active or passive, that the only Kum Va'aseh, the only time that your active ma'isa is considered Kum Va'aseh is only when that ma'isa relates to the guf ha'iser. And therefore, even if you're being active, but you're activity, right, your ma'isa doesn't pertain to the guf ha'iser, that's going to be considered Shei Bal Tasa according to the guf ha'iser approach, right? Classic, right, examples we all know, right? I guess just give the example of the Rambam, right? You actively walk into the Azara, but since the guf ha'iser is not being makriv the Ola, so therefore even though you actively walked into the Azara to trigger the Avera, but since the guf ha'iser was passive of not positively being makriv, that's to be considered Shei Bal Tasa. So that's the first approach, which has the koveya of Shei Bal Tasa versus Kum Va'aseh, is the guf ha'iser. Now moving on to the second approach. The second approach says that no. The koveya for Kum Va'aseh versus Shei Bal Tasa is not the guf ha'iser, but it's rather, right, the method, the way in which you are violating the avir. And therefore, as long as at the time or along the process of the Avera, you're performing a physical Maisa, according to the second approach, that is going to be considered Kum Va'aseh. So again, according to the second approach, even if your action, even if your Maisa doesn't relate to the Kufa Isser, as long as at the time of the Avera, you are being active, that's going to be considered a Kum Va'aseh. But within this second approach, right, that it's all about, you know, whether you're active at the time of the Avera or not, we presented two different explanations for it. I just take one step backward. According to the Guf Ha'iser, the first approach, remember, as Rav Chanan explains, the lumdus behind it is that it's all about Chumras Ha'iser. Right? Since the focus is all about how did you violate the Guf Ha'iser, so therefore the focus seems to be how Chumr was the Iser. And the idea is that only if you violate the Guf Ha'iser b'Kum Va'aseh, only then is it to be considered a more chamor violation. But as long as you don't violate, right, the Guf Ha'iser in an active way, then it's going to be considered a less chamor violation. That's according to approach number one. So again, according to approach number one, again, the geder is all about whether you're active in terms of the Guf Ha'iser. And then the lumdus, right, the reason behind it is that will impact the Chumras Ha'iser. The second approach, again, as we were saying, the geder is all about whether you were active at the time of the Avera. But within this second approach, says that the geder is all about whether you were active at the time. The question is, there are two different explanations for what is the reasoning behind it. So the first version, we call it 2a. This is the way the Rav Chanan says it. Again, Rav Chanan says this is the only way to say it. Right? According to Rav Chanan, if you think that the focus is not on the Guf Ha'iser, but rather whether you're active or passive at the time of the Avera, according to Rav Chanan, it's all this idea of stalemate, which means the clash of two values, and you have no right to choose which value you're going to violate, which value you choose, right? Just like in the case of like Maichasis, when you have a choice, either you're to be killed, you're going to be killed or kill someone else. Just like there, Maichasis, you can't choose, right, between whether your life is more valuable than another person's life, therefore you have to be passive. So too, says Rav Chanan, that's the idea, we'll call approach 2a, which is that there's a stalemate, let's say in the context of Kavod HaBrios, for instance. There's a stalemate between the value of Kavod HaBrios and the value of the mitzvah d'oraisa. You have to be completely passive. You can't choose, right? The idea of stalemate, the idea is you can't choose, and therefore says Rav Chanan, as long as you were active, even if that ma'isa doesn't have to do with the Guf Ha'iser, as long as you're active, that's a problem with Kum Va'aseh, because you're taking a tzad, you're breaking the stalemate, you're choosing which value you're going to favor. That's approach 2a. But again, according to that explanation of Rav Chanan, 2a, right, any action along the process of the Avera will be considered kumbase. Because as long as you do any action which is going to decide which Avera, which value is going to be chosen, that's going to be a problem, kumbase, because you broke the stalemate. Stalemate says you have to be passive throughout. But we're going to say that's not going to work for all Rishonim, such as Tosos. Which brings us to approach 2b. Right? Approach 2b says that no, even the idea of, you know, saying that your Maisa, even if it doesn't have to do with the Gufa Isra, as long as you're doing a Maisa, you know, Bishas Avera, that's going to be considered Kumbase. 2b says it's not about stalemate, but it's also about Chumrasa Isra. Right? And the idea is that even if your Maisa doesn't relate to the Gufa Isra, as long as you're doing a Maisa Bishas Avera, as long as you're being active, that also makes the Avera more Chumar. And according to this, you know, this version 2b, you can then explain a shita like Tosas and Yivamas. Tosas and Yivamas says that, yeah, it's all about whether you're active. Not about the Gufa Isser. But the only time that your Maisa is going to render you Gumba Ase is only if that Maisa is Bishasa Avera. But that doesn't make sense according to Rav Chanan's approach. Because according to Rav Chanan's approach of stalemate, you can't take any action at any point. And if, let's say, Rav Chanan, I mean, there's Tosas' case of when you put the beged on, by putting on the beged, you're deciding that you're going to end up violating the mitzvah of tzitzis rather than violating the mitzvah of the shmol of divrei chachamim. So according to the stalemate idea, that should be a problem. You shouldn't be able to put the beged on because by putting the beged on, you're choosing to listen to the chachamim over the mitzvah d'oraisa of tzitzis. But Tosas seems to adopt approach 2b, which says that, yeah, it's all, again, it's all about chumrasa iser. And the idea is the only time that your Maisa is going to make the Isser more Chamor is if your Maisa, if your Kumbase takes place, Bishasa Avera. Because only when your active Kumbase action takes place, Bishasa Avera, only then does it connect to the Avera to make it more Chamor. So in short, both approach 1 and approach 2b are all about Chumrasa Isser. They're just different versions in terms of when does the, how connected does the Maisa have to be to the Avera to make it more Chumar. According to approach 1, it's only when the Maisa is actually the Gufa Isser. According to approach 2b, as long as the Maisa is taking place at the Shas HaAvera, that is enough. Well, again, that's all in contrast to approach 2a, which is a completely different idea, nothing to do with Chumrasa Isser, all about stalemate. So again, we're going to see today this contrast between 2a, which is all about the idea of stalemate, and approach 1 and 2b, which is all about Chumrasa Isser. So that's all the background. And then tying it in terms of the shitos, in terms of our sugya of Kavod HaBrios, we pointed out we saw a number of different shitos. So Rav Chanan himself says that the idea at hand for Kavod HaBrios must be approach 1 of Gufa Isser. And remember, what is Rav Chanan's raya? What is Rav Chanan's raya that it can't be about being active? Has to be the only time that you're active has to be the Gufa Isser. Anybody remember his raya? Hint is the Meis Mitzvah. No, the Meis, the case of Meis. What's the case of Sheva Taisa by Kavod HaBrios? Where you're
actively doing.
Exactly, you're actively doing the Meis Mitzvah. Exactly, right? You're actively doing the Meis Mitzvah and then passively Mimela not accomplishing the mitzvah of Mila and Karban Pesach. So it says Rav Chanan. Rav Chanan, remember, for Rav Chanan there are two options. It's either approach 1, which is about the Gufa Isser, or stalemate. That's in Rav Chanan's world. So Rav Chanan says, wait a second. Once Kavod HaBrios can't be stalemate, because in the case of the Gemara, you're actively choosing to involve yourself in the Meis Mitzvah. So Rav Chanan says, oh, it must be that the Geder for Kavod HaBrios is approach 1, it's the Gufa Isser. And says Rav Chanan, therefore, since the Gufa Isser of not being Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Mila, and not being Mekayim, the Mitzvah of Karban Pesach, is Sheva Taisa, therefore, it's considered Sheva Taisa, even if you're actively being involved in the Meis Mitzvah, because, again, according to the Gufa Isser approach, as long as your violation of Mitzvah Mila, Mitzvah Karban Pesach, is Sheva Taisa, of not doing those mitzvahs, it's going to be Sheva Taisa, even if you're, you know, doing a Maisa for the purposes of the Meis Mitzvah. So, again, in terms of Kavod HaBrios, we have Rav Chanan adopting the approach 1 of Gufa Isser. But then we pointed out that Tosvos seems to adopt, again, approach 2b for cover up Rios as well. Because remember, Tosas, as we pointed out in Yevamos, is the person who adopts, right, approach 2b in the context of Yesh Koach Lecham Lakor Dover Min HaTorah from his Kasha of Beis Tzitzis. It's clear that he says that when he says that the Koveya of Kum Va'asei is whether you do a Maisa Bishasa Avera, even if that Maisa has nothing to do with the Gufa Isser, as long as you're doing a Maisa Bishasa Avera, that's going to be considered Kum Va'asei. We pointed out that's very much the idea of 2b. But we... Then Tosas, in the continuation, then brings up our sugya of Kavod HaBrios. Again, assuming that the same lumdus of this approach 2b carries over to the sugya of Kavod HaBrios. Again, therefore, so while Rav Chanan clearly adopts approach number 1 for Kavod HaBrios, Tosfos clearly adopts approach 2b to say, again, by Kavod HaBrios, the koveya is whether you're doing a maisa bishas ha'avera, and the idea being that if you're doing a maisa Bishas ha'avira, so then that makes it more chamer. But what comes out, this is a Rav Chanan's point, but no one seems to adopt approach 2a for Kavod HaBrios, because as Rav Chanan points out, it doesn't work with the case. The case where you're actively being involved in the Meis Mitzvah, according to the stalemate approach, would be Kum Va'asei, but yet the Gemara says in the case where you're actively involved in the Meis Mitzvah, and then Memela not being Mekayim, Mila and Karban Pesach, the Gemara characterizes that case as Sheva Taisa. So obviously it seems to be clear that no one adopts approach 2a in the context of Kavod HaBrios. So again, so what emerges in this, we're going to discuss today, that according to everybody, it's either approach number 1 or approach 2b. So again, both of those have to do with Chumras HaIsser, but no one adopts the idea of stalemate for Kavod HaBrios, because it just doesn't work with the case.
Why not?
Because the case of, I mean, the Gemara says the case where you actively are metapel with the Meis Mitzvah, that's considered Sheval Taisa.
Yeah, but it's not like Stira. Like, if you are a second Meis Mitzvah, you can't...
No, but it's a Stira, it's a stalemate. The idea of stalemate is that you have two values you can't choose.
What are two values?
Kavod HaBrios, the Meis Mitzvah versus, let's say, Mila.
Then don't
do nothing. Stalemate is that you have to stay still, hands behind your back.
Don't do Pesach and don't do Kavod HaBrios.
Yeah, just be passive and let everything, you know, play itself out. But here, but here you're doing Meis Mitzvah. But again, right? So the way Rav Chanan
they want me according to if we will say that it's going, we're going according to approach 2A.
Yeah, you got it.
So what will be? Will be nothing to do nothing.
Okay, that's
not
a quadru-
Pesach and not the Kavod HaBrios.
Oh, sure. Okay.
So for sure, then even for that, you need to do something.
Okay, you're asking a good question, Rav Chanan. You're basically saying, wait a second. In this case, if you just stand still, nothing happens.
Yeah,
you're meaning about those two asses instead
okay.
of one asa.
Okay. I have to think about that. That's a very good. That's a very good kasha, Rav Chanan. That's a very good kasha. But we're going to very good. We're going to bring. We're going to see right now the two other Rishonim in the Sugya of Kavod HaBrios, which also seem to be going within the Chumras HaIsser approach, to either approach number 1 or 2b, that the Kum Va'asei is all a din in Chumras HaIsser, not about this idea of stalemate. So again, even though you just asked a very good question of Rav Chanan's Raya, we're going to see that the other, we're going to see both Tosas and Shavuos and the Ritva and Makos, we're both discussing, both of Chidushim in terms of the Geder of Kum Va'asei for Kavod HaBrios, and both of them, we're going to see their Chidushim relate to Chumras HaIsser and nothing to do with stalemate. We're going to go through it right now. But I'm going to have to think about your Raya, about your Kasha and Rav Chanan. It's actually an excellent question. Any other hands that I missed? Okay. So now moving on. So again, we're going to see two Rishonim now, who have Chidushim about the Geder of Kum Va'asei in the context of Kavod HaBrios. And we're going to see that in line with the analysis we're saying right now, that none of them seem to align with the stalemate idea. Both these chidushim seem to assume that the idea of kum va'asei in the realm of Kavod HaBrios is all about it. When it's kum va'asei, it's more of a chamer iser. Let's start with the Tosas and Shavuos. Anybody have a Gemara and Shavuos here? Okay. All right. So the background, right? The Gemara and Shavuos lamed amid beis. All right. What's the Gemara saying? It has to do with the Talmud Chacham and Eidos. Anybody remember the kids? Very good. Right, a Talmud Chacham who would be a bizayon to his Kavod HaBrios to go to a lesser Beis Din. So the Gemara says he can shave al right. He can, I'm sorry, giving away. He can not give edus, right, in the realm of mamonos, but not in the realm of isurim, because we know Kavod HaBrios is only doche a mitzvah shel mamon, but it's not doche and isur da'oraisa. And Tosa is going to ask the kashrut. I sort of just hinted to it, right? Besides for the exception of mamon, what's another exception in the Gemara? Sheval taisa. Right? The case here where you're not giving edus is sheval taisa. So ask Tosas Akash on Shavuos Laman Beis, why can't the Talmud Chacham also Sheva Al Tansa not give Eidus, even in the realm of Yisurim? Because we know from our sugya that we're just learning right now, that your Kavod Brios allows you to be Docha, even in Isur D'Oraisa, even a Mitzvah D'Oraisa, if your violation is going to be Sheva Al Taisa. That's Tosas Akash. So anybody have it open? Shmuel. So what's Tosas asks that... Kasha, I'm getting it right now. Right? Do you have it? Do you see it? You see Miyu Tema?
Yeah.
Go for it. It's a couple lines in Tosos. Miyu Tema?
Miyu Tema, Yaha Sheva Taseu, Uper Mishimetog Brachot, Mukha Kishan, Kilu Bisu, Pai Gabe Amotse Kilan de Bigdo. פושטו אפילו בשוק, מאולך לשחוט את פתחו ולמול את בנו, שמתאמין למת מצווה משום ביזיון המת, ושאני אשב ואל תעשה שם.
So he's basically saying, it is clear from our sugya, that במקום שב אל תעשה, you can even violate an Isser בשב אל תעשה. So why is the Gemara limiting the, say the Talmud Chacham can only not give Eidus by Mammon, he should also be able to not give Eidus by Isser because here, he's violating the mitzvah of Haggadah's Eidus, Pishei Valtaisa. So answer number one is what?
Shlomar, dehatam gnai gadol hu lemet mitzvah she'en kovrim, she'en lo kovrim. Lekach she'va al da'ase shal. Da'ad bikovrim lo da'chi kvod idun. Pesach umila. Bekhish tatkinai bashuk, gnai gadol. Gnai gadol ki gnai met mitzvah. La'chi parich umila.
Right. So what is he saying? Tosas first answers. So when do we say that Kavod HaBrios is Doche in Isser? B'Shei Val Tasa, only when the Kavod HaBrios is what? It's Gnai Gadol. It's a really big breach of Kavod HaBrios. It's a Gnai Gadol. And the examples are Meis Mitzvah, huge Gnai, no one's burying, or the Kavod HaBrios of having to take off your clothing in public. What?
For what it's Gnai?
The Meis. Kavod HaMeis. That's the idea of Kavod HaMeis. That's the inyan. But says Tosfos, Aval Hacha, Kol Kach. Afilu. But he's saying here, for the Talmud Chacham to go to a lower basin, that's a breach in his Kavod HaBrios, but it's a lower level. So again, according to Tosfos, there's Gnai Gadol, right? There's Gnai Gadol where the Gnai Gadol is Doche B'Shei Val Taisa, but a Gnai Kantan, as we'll call it, in the case on Shavuos, that's not going to be Doche. Okay? So that's Tosa's first answer. Again, that doesn't necessarily relate. That could work within all the different approaches. That doesn't necessarily take a stand, right? That doesn't necessarily take a stand on the issue we're discussing. But before we get to the second answer of Tosa's, which isn't, or does take a stand on what we're discussing, I just want to point out that the Shagas Aryeh, and again, in Simen Nunches, quotes this answer of Tosos and points out that all the other Rishonim in the Sugya aren't Mechalik like this. He points like the Rambam. When the Rambam mentions the Dinim of Kavod HaBrios, right? He doesn't, right? The Rambam isn't Mechalik between different types of Kavod HaBrios. So says the Shai Gazari, it's clear from other Rishonim, they reject this answer of Tosos. But he goes even further and says, these other Rishonim who are not Mechalik between Gnai Gadol and Gnai Katan, say that not only is the inyan of Kavod HaBrios, even by Gnai Katan, but it says that, Shagasar, even when there's like a lack of Kavod. So like, there are three levels. There's Gnai Gadol, there's Gnai Katan, and then there's a lack of Kavod. Not Gnai, but a lack of Kavod. What he calls Heder Kavod. Says Shagasar Yechidish, that the Rishonim who reject this Tosos not only say that we're going to treat Gnai Katan like Gnai Gadol, they're going to go further and say that any lack of Kavod has the din of Kavod HaBrios, just like Gnai Gadol. So the three levels of Gnai Gadol, Gnai Katan, and lack of Kavod, for these other Rishonim, all have the same status of Kavod HaBrios, which can therefore be Docha in Isser D'Oraisa B'Shei Val Taisa. And that that's important lamaisa in different cases in terms of you to figure out, oh, so what is the status of kavod prios in this particular case? Says the Shagasari, it's such a low threshold that any lack of kavod will have the din of kavod prios. You don't need, not only do you not need gnai gadol, you don't even need gnai katan, even a lack of kavod is going to trigger the din of kavod prios. Okay, but that's the first answer. Tosos, we pointed out, the Shagas Arye notes that a lot of Rishonim disagree, and then with this Ere Chiddush, not only is it Gnai Katan, considered like Gnai Gadol, but even Heeder Kavod, even a lack of Kavod, is treated like Gnai Gadol. Fine. But now getting to the second answer in Tosos, which is a very, very big Chiddush. See the ODA Shalomar? Emmanuel, do you have that? A couple lines later, see the ODA Shalomar? It's a very, yeah, very big chiddush. You got it? Very big chiddush in terms of the... Right? Now, the first answer is a chiddush in terms of the geder of kavod brios. Now, the second answer can be a chiddush in terms of the geder of kum v'aseh, which is, you know, geder to what we've been discussing. But od yesh lomar... What does he mean by that? That even though in this case, the Talmud Chacham who doesn't give Eidus is completely passive, but what's going to happen? By him not giving Eidus, Right, so what's going to happen? By not giving Edus, what's going to happen? She's going to get remarried. So says the second answer, tells us, big chiddush, even if you're passive, if your passivity will cause someone else to be over an Isser Bekum Ba'aseh, the woman will Bekum Ba'aseh get married? Yeah, he's referencing this. This is what he's referencing. All right, says this toast, it's a big chiddush, that kumva aseh is not only when you're active, but even if your passivity will cause someone else to do a maisa, to violate an avera bekumva aseh, that makes you kumva aseh. Whoa. So even if you're passive, the fact that your passivity causes someone else to do an avera bekumva aseh, that makes you kumva aseh. It makes the case kumva aseh, and we say that kavod prios is not doche. So now you have to think about this. Wait a second. I don't want to take you in a second. Just one moment. Now let's cheshbon it out. If it's a stalemate idea, right? If you think that kumva aseh is all problem that is, it's a stalemate, right? You just have to have your hands behind your back. You can't do any action. So then stalemate's all about whether you did any physical action. In this case, since you put your hands behind your back and you didn't do anything, that should be Sheval Tasa. But only if you think that Kumva Aseh is not about stalemate, but it's all about the Chumar Sa'isr, is that when you're active, that makes it more Chumar, either because that's the Gufa Isr or because you're doing a Maisa Bishasa Avera. Either way, but if it's all about Chumar Sa'isr, then you can explain this Kiddush. Then you explain this Kiddush, as Rav Chanan points out, this idea of this is like a din of arvus, right? Kol Yisrael Arevim Zeh L'Zeh, which is not just like a nice song, a nice idea, but has a lot of ramifications. And in this context means if your inaction causes someone else to do an Avera Bekum Vaseh, then that person's Avera Bekum Vaseh is Mesiaches back to you. And he quotes a Gemara in Shabbos, which is, Kol Sheish Biyado Limchos. You have the opportunity to prevent someone else from doing an Avera. Ve'ino Moche, and you let him do that Avera, Nitpas Ba'avon Chaver. The Avera goes to you. So says Rav Chanan, to spell it out, right? If it's all about Chumrasa Iser, right, the Chomer of your Avera. So in this case, because of the idea of Arvus, that the other person's Avera is Mesiaches to you, so then, yeah, because it's all about Chumras Ha'isra, in the end of the day, that Avera B'kum Va'aseh is now Mesiaches to you, and it's the Begeder of Kum Va'aseh. But if the whole idea of Kum Va'aseh was all about your hands behind your back, you can't take any physical action which is going to decide the direction of the case, so then in this case, your hands were behind your back. You didn't do anything. It should be considered Shebal Taisa. So for Tosfos, by considering this case where you're physically inactive to be Kum Va'aseh, it must be that Tosfos is assuming either like approach number one or approach 2b, that the idea of Kum Va'aseh is not about stalemate, but it's rather about Chumrasa Isra, and therefore here, where that other person's Kum Va'aseh Isser Chamura is Mesachis back to you, so therefore you, in essence, violated a you know, have a Chumrasa Isser on your record, and therefore that's going to override Kavod Abrias.
So wouldn't that also apply in the case of Mamona? Meaning, if I have information that would cause a judge to determine a different ruling, right? Not only am I causing the judge, by my Sheva Al-Tase, to rule an untrue ruling, but I'm also causing the person to whom the Chatzah doesn't really belong to be using it without Rashut, almost like stealing it from the person to whom it really belongs. So my lack of action also causes my Sefera.
By Mammon, we say that Kavod Abrios overrides Mammon, even Mekum Ba'aseh. Remember, the only time we have to come on to Sheva Taisa is in the context of Yisurim. By Mammon, because of the three Mahatam, was either because it's more Tal, or because Nitan Lamechila, or because of your Kavod, you know, this Kvotcha Koldman idea of the Meiri, that even applies by Kumba Asai. Okay? That's very important. So again, I want to bring this in. This second day on Tosos, where his geder of Kumva Aseh is clearly adopting the Chumrasa Isser, you know, version, and not about stalemate, in line with our analysis before that stalemate just doesn't work for the sugya of Kavod Abrios. Now this takes us to the famous, it's a very famous Ritva in Makos, which I know some guys are having a hard time with. Anybody have the Ritva in Makos here? Okay.
Yeah.
Right, but the Ritva in Makos. Anybody remember the context of the Ritva in Makos? What is the Ritva in Makos trying to explain? Right, there's a Mishnah in Makos, Chav Aleph Amud Aleph, right? You can finish my sentence if you remember. Right? Right. The Mishnah basically says the case where you're continually wearing kilayim, and if another person gives you a bunch of hasraos, you get multiple malkios. So again, you're just continually wearing kilayim. Let's say for an hour. If another person gives you, let's say, five sets of Hasra, you're going to get five sets of Malkus. The Gemara then tries to figure out, it's like, what's the case? So one day, and the Gemara says, yeah, if you put it off. The second day, which we're going to discuss, I think this is Rav Ashi, says a Chiddush, that no, even if it's just passively on you the entire time, you still get a separate Malkus for each Hasra. So even though you just kept the baguette of kilayim on for the entire hour, you didn't move it, still, if you got a straw five times, you get five sets of malchus. So Ritz is going to ask the obvious kasha, what do you mean? We know the koveya for malchus is maisa, right? Lav shema maisa.
It says in the Mishnah.
What?
V'hu poshet velovesh. If he takes it off and puts it back on, then he's chayav al kol
achat. One more time?
The Mishnah.
The Mishnah. No, the Mishnah just. Yeah. Okay, I think. So Ahmed Beis. Yeah, I think he. Maybe it might be a different gear set there, but Rav Ashi clearly says.
Yeah, Rav Ashi
says. Rav Ashi is a filo sha. Yeah. Right, but it's clear from Rav Ashi that even if. Right? Losh. Right? Right, even if you didn't take it, okay, fine. All right, so the kasha of the Ritva basically asks, Misvar, wait a second. According to Rav Ashi, you're just passively leaving the clothes on, the kilayim on, but yet you get malchus for each hasra. What do you mean? There was only one maisa. You kept it on the entire time. Where do the five sets of malchus come from? So says the Ritva, let's read this inside because it's a hard idea. And he quotes the Balei Tosas. The Balei Tosas tier 2. Do you have it, Dov? Say Balbatosos tier 2?
Balbatosos tier 2, the Kevan tier, Yacholipsha, the Eno Poshet, the Olvay Don Busho, the Chash of Mice.
What's the line? Kevan Shahaya Yacholipsha, the Eno Poshet, the Eno Poshet, the Omin Baman Busho, the Chash of Mice. So what's the Mice?
The fact that you could have taken off and missed twice to not.
Exactly. Says the Ritva, in this case, the Mice is. Exactly. The fact that you had time to take it off and yet you kept it on, so says the Ritva, keeping it on and not taking it off is the Maisa.
Big Maisa, yeah.
Well, he's explaining it. He's explaining the Gemara.
Yeah.
Right?
He's going to quote the Gemara.
Exactly. And then here's a key line. Right? The Bechal lo tilbash. I think there's a key line. Let's discuss with Akiva and Nadav earlier. When the Torah in a formula, it's the Isser of Kalayim. What is it? It says Lo Tilbash. What does Lo Tilbash literally mean?
Don't put on.
Don't. How do you say it? Literally. Don't wear. It says don't wear. So that's ambiguous. Does that mean don't put on? Or does that mean don't continue wearing? So I think the Ritva is saying, specifically in this context, where the Torah's formulation of Lo Tilbash is ambiguous, it's not clear whether it means don't put on or don't wear. So says the Ritva, but the Torah is telling you that in this context, wearing is considered putting on. Continuing to wear and not take off is as if you're doing a Maisa Levisha every time. So again, specifically, right, in this context, right, because Nadav was saying, all the Ritva said was that a non-Maisa is, we treat it as a Maisa. What does that mean? So I think the idea is, in this context, where the Torah formulates Lo Tilbash in a way which could be either, let's say, a passive wearing or an active putting on, what the Torah is trying to tell us. And in this context, passive wearing is treated as if you're actively putting it on, because any time you had the opportunity to take it off and you actively kept it on, that is considered a Maisa. Yes?
Just because it's an Isser, does that mean that it's a Maisa? Meaning, no. So I can be over Lo Tilbash, the Isser, without doing a Maisa of...
Yeah, But I think correct, because there are Isurim which don't get Malkus, but Lo Tilbash sounds like a Maisa. Don't wear. So I think then the Ritz was saying, wait a second, so the Maisa that Torah describes as don't wear sounds like it includes both a Maisa and a non-Maisa, but yet it seems to formulate both in terms of Maisa. So it says, oh, it must be that in this context, the passive continued wearing is treated as if you're actively putting it on. Because any moment you could have taken it off, and you don't, as if you put it on again. So I think it all comes back to, I think, his diuk in the pasuk. And says the Ritva, right? Says the Ritva, this yisod of continued wearing is treated as if you're doing a maisa is necessary for what to explain what sugya?
Nazir.
What? What exactly our sugya? Our sugya of, right, the paradigm of kavod abrios, of losing out to a mitzvah daraisa, is right in terms of the lovish big day klein b'shuk. We say you take it off, right? We take it off because kavod abrios is nitches, loses to the iser of klein. Then you have to return to that original case at the end of the sugya. Once the end of the sugya, we have this exception of Sheva al Taisa. The obvious question is, wait a second. Isn't Lovish Kilayim Sheva al Taisa? You're just wearing it. So why does the Gemara say that in that case, you have to take it off? What do you mean? Kavod Abrios is Doche a Lav B'Sheva al Taisa, and you're just violating Kilayim passively. So Ritva says, no. So that our Gemara is a riot to this Yisod, to this idea, based on the Gemara Makos, that any time that you're continually wearing the kilayim, and you have the opportunity, you have the time to take it off, it's as if a kumba ase, you're keeping it on. So not taking it off is treated as kumba ase. Yeah.
Would we say that he's disagreeing or agreeing with Rashi, or is that not necessarily the case? Rashi and Abishagya.
Yeah. Rashi says the same thing. Exactly. He just doesn't explain.
Right, he doesn't explain.
Exactly. Rashi just says, oh yeah, if you cheshbon have to sugya, you have to say the lovish kilayim is kumba ase. But then you scratch your head when you're reading Rashi, you're like, why? In what way is a passive lovish kalayim, considered Sheva Taisa? So you have to seemingly have this idea of the Ritva to explain what Rashi means. Exactly. But now, again, just like Tosos' second answer. Yes, Michal.
Does it exactly different religion?
I don't think so. Oh. But if you think about it, Tosas' second Deya and the Ritzvah are both similar in the sense that they're both saying that a case where you're physically passive, we treat as if it's halachically kumba aseh. Tosos' second answer is the case where you, right, your physical passivity leads to someone else doing a maisa. And in the Ritzvah's case, you're physically passive, but because you could have taken it off, we treat it as if you put it on. In both cases, right, you're physically passive, but yet we halachically treat it as if it's kumba aseh. And just like we said before, it all ties into the previous lambdas. If you would have assumed that the lambdas hand is stalemate is all about whether you are physically active or passive. So none of these chilukim of the Rishonim would make sense. Because in both cases, you're physically passive. Right? In Tosa's case, by not giving aitus. And the Ritz's case, you're just physically, continually wearing the beged. So if the idea at hand was stalemate, none of these chilukim would make any sense. But again, once we've been saying that the whole sugya of Kavod HaBrios is not about stalemate, but it's all about some form of Chumr Sa'isr, so then you can explain, within Chumr Sa'isr, you can explain this chidushim, right? According to Tosos, the idea is, because of Arvos, you're misyaches to the other person's, you know, kumba aseyavir. And according to the Ritzva, because the nature, because of when the Torah's formulation, the little tilbash, says that the gufa iser is basically one where the Torah is saying that here, your continued levisha is considered to be a maisa. So then the Torah is going to say, in this context, your continued passive wearing is treated as if it's a chamor avira bekumba aseyavir. So again, what we're just trying to say is that if you took the stalemate approach, none of these chidushim of Tosas and the Ritzva would make any sense. But now that we've established that the idea of kumba haseh in the sugya of Kavod HaBrios is not about stalemate, it's all about chumras ha'iser, so then these chilukim could be made. Then these chidushim could be made. The Tosas is chidush about the other person's kumba haseh being mizyach is back to you. And the Ritzva is chidush that because of the Torah's formulation of lo tilbash, basically treating you that your continued passive wearing is also could be considered a chamor kumba aseh violation of kilayim. So just putting it all together, these chidushim of the Ritzva and Tosas only make sense in light of what we're saying, that the sugya of kumba aseh for Kavod HaBrios is not about stalemate, which is all about, physically not being able to choose, but it's rather about chumr sa'iser, and then when it's a chumr iser, then Kavod HaBrios loses to it, but if it's sheva taisa and it's more kal iser, and then Kavod HaBrios is going to beat it out. Any questions? So Ad Kan is our discussion of Sheva Tasa. Any questions? Okay, good. Now moving on to the next exception. Right, so far we basically went through the sugya, analyzed each exception to the rule. Right, the rule of the sugya was that Kavod HaBrios loses out to mitzvos d'oraisa. And then the Gemara goes through with different exceptions. First exception was mitzvos d'rabbanan. Kavod HaBrios beats out mitzvos d'rabbanan. Second exception was mitzvos shel mamon. The Kavod HaBrios beats out mitzvos shel mamon. Third exception we just did is that Kavod HaBrios will beat out an iser as long as you violate that iser b'shem HaKadosh. And now we have the fourth exception, which is not in the Gemara, or it's not explicit in the Gemara, but it's implicit in the Gemara, which is the tumah. For the Isser Tumas Mace for a Kohen and a Nazir. Right? And if you go back to this Brisa, which says that the Mace Mitzvah basically not only says that you're allowed to be Mavatel, the Mitzvah of Mila and Karban Pesach, but also allows the Kohen and the Nazir to do what? But when we tell a Kohen and a Nazir to be Matapa with a Mace Mitzvah, what are they doing in essence? They're being what? Mitame. What avera are they violating? Exactly. They're Isser Tumah, and is that shape? When they are actively being metapal with the Mace Mitzvah and thereby violating their Isser Tumah, is that Sheva Taisa or Kumva Aseh? That's Kumva Aseh. So the question that all of Yishon are bothered by, for some reason the Gemara doesn't ask this question, is wait a second. The Brisa, which the Gemara was only worried about, because of Mace Mitzvah, you violated the Mila, you violated the Karban Pesach. And to that, the Gemara answered, Sheva Tasa Shani. All the Rishonim were saying, there's a stronger Kasha. The stronger Kasha is that because of Mace Mitzvah, because of the Kavod HaBrios of Mace Mitzvah, we told the Kohen and the Nazir to be Mitame Mace, Mitame LaMace. That's an Isser, D'Oraisa, B'Kumba Aseh. It doesn't fall into any of the categories. It's not the category of Durabanon. It's not the category of Mamon, and it's not the category of Sheva Taisa. It's an Isser d'Oraisa b'Kumba Aseh. Three strikes, right? It's an Isser, not Mamon. It's d'Oraisa, not d'Rabbanon. And it's Kumba Aseh, not Sheva Taisa. So the fourth exception in the sugya is that some reason the Mace Mitzvah, the Kavod HaBrios, is able to be Matir, right? The Isser of Tumas Mace for Kohen and Nazir, and the question is why? It doesn't fall into any of the three categories, the other three exceptions.
So Kilayim is like that, no?
No, Kil. Well, but Kalayim beats out Kol HaBrios.
Yeah, but we have Avamina. What is Avamina?
But that's something else. Right, at the end of the day, Kol HaBrios loses out to Kalayim.
Yeah. That learns from Urachoto.
Fine, but that ruins all the Kalayim and the Sugya. Shouldn't we have a Binyan Av? No, but...
40.
No, you're right. But that Joshua should tell us that all our Kalayim are wrong.
No, it's exceptions. Yeah, it's four exceptions. The first one is the Kalayim.
You're right, but why is that an exception?
Aviv is a Kohen.
What's different about the case?
It's a limit. It's like, well...
No, but in each case, the Gemara says, v'ligmar mineh. And the Gemara then has to say, oh, mamon shiny, sheva taisa shiny, drabanon shiny. You have to give a reason for why it's different.
Rashi doesn't...
Well, Rashi does over here. Dav chav. You see, right, we're going to see. Right, so that's the question that the Rishonim are basically troubled by. Here we have a fourth exception to the rule, and doesn't fit into any of the other three exceptions. So we're going to see the Rishonim have two different approaches to this exception. The first approach is the approach of Rashi and others, which says, in short, what's one word? How would you describe Rashi's explanation of this exception? Hutra. Basically, the first approach adopted by Rashi, we'll see in just a moment, is basically, it's hutra. Meaning, in this case, it's not that the kavod habrios of meis mitzvah is doche the iser of tumah, and then you have a problem, but it flies in the face of all the rules. No, says Rashi. It's hutra. That b'makom meis mitzvah, there is no iser tumah for a kohen and a nazir. And in that case, there's no clash. So it's not that kavod habrios is overriding in Isser de Oraisa Bekum Vaaseh, because that wouldn't work. It's rather that B'makom, the Meis Mitzvah, there is no Isser Tumah. Let's see Rashi inside. So this is the Rashi on Daf Chav. Again, at the end of the Sugya, Rashi basically asks this Kasha that they basically just spelled out. You see, Rashi Dimas Vashayba Taisa, the fourth skinny line. What do we have? Arya, would you mind reading? The last word on line, the Tumas Gufe. See, the Tumas Gufe is the fourth skinny line in Rashi. Last word in line is the Tuma.
Yeah.
Sorry, Chafa Min Aleph. The top of Chafa Min Aleph, sorry. See the fourth skinny line of Rashi. Last word is the Tumas. Right, so that's basically an implied kasha, right? Basically, how in the world can the Meis Mitzvah Kavod HaBrios be docha the Isser Tuma b'kum va'aseh? Again, it's an Isser, it's Do'oraisa, and it's kum va'aseh. It doesn't fall into any of the categories. So it's Hainu Taima. This is the reason why we don't make it into a binyan av, the reason why it's an exception. What is he saying? Hutra, right? He's saying it's not that the kavod habrios overrides the iser tuma. That wouldn't work because of everything we said before. It's rather that b'makom meis mitzvah, the iser tuma for a kohen and nazir was lo nichtav, wasn't said. So it's not that you have a clash. The whole thing is about a clash between two things. Clash between kavod habrios and something else. What are the rules of engagement? Right? What are the rules of what comes first? But says Rashi, this is not a clash at all because it's hutra. So this is the... The first approach of Hutra is adopted by Rashi, we just read. It's also, we're not going to read inside, it's also the first day in the Rashba. Right? The Rashba, again, on Chafa Min Aleph, Dir Maslo Shebal Taisa, his first day says this idea that there's no problem because it's Hutra. And you also have this of the Me'iri, says this as well, in the name of the Gedolei HaRabbanim. And the Me'iri just adds one interesting raya to this. The Me'iri, again, presents this Hutra idea, and it says, I have a raya to this Hutra idea. What's my raya? He says, if you think about it, why doesn't the Gemara ask this question? It's a very good question, right? The Gemara only asks the other questions to present the exception of Durabana, the exception of Mamun, the exception of Shebat Taisa. Why is it only that the Rishonim are asking this? Why does the Gemara ignore this problem? So it says the Me'iri, if it's Hutra, we understand. Because the Gemara is only dealing with clashes. When Kavod HaBrios is coming up against another Aver, and the question is, how do you deal with the clash? Oh, here are the rules. But says the Miri, if the Yesod here is that it's a din of Hutra, that there's no clash at all, that B'makom Mis Mitzvah, there's no Iser Tumah, that's why the Gemara never even brought it up, because the Gemara knew there was no clash. All the other cases is a clash between Kavod HaBrios and Mila. So the Gemara is asking, what do you mean? How can the Kavod HaBrios, within the clash with the Mitzvah D'Oraisa Mila, win out? Answer is Sheva Taisa. And all the other cases, all about clashes. But says the Meiri, a riot to this Yisod that it's Hutra, then there's no clash at all. That's why the Gemara never asks this as part of the Shach B'Taya. The Gemara brings this Braisa, which talks about Beis Mitzvah being Docha the Isser Tumah, but only asks about the Beis Mitzvah being Docha Mila and Karim Pesach. Why? Why pick one, not the other? Answer is, because there's no clash at all, because it's the Torah, it's Torah's Hutra. So you have, Rashi says this, the first day in the Rashba, the Meiri has this, and also the Piskeret. So all those four Rishonim saying this idea of Hutra. But, before we go on to the second approach, we have to deal with a very strong question that Tosos asks on it. So everyone can turn to Tosos on Chaf Amin Al. Tosos is basically going to ask a strong question. Basically ask, Rashi, Udime, you just pulled this Hutra card out of your back pocket. But Mehechi Tesi, right? If whenever you have a problem, you can just say, oh, Hutra, so then why don't you say that in every case?
He also says it by Krovim, right?
What?
He also says it by Krovim.
But Rashi says it by Krovim.
Against, like, the Ravid, said it earlier.
Excellent, excellent. Very good, very good.
For the last one, yeah.
Exactly. Actually, in my notes, I have this Rashi in that last sugi as a contrast, but I didn't want to give him up. But exactly, I just want to point this out. Exactly as Daniel just pointed out, Rashi says, just like Mis Mitzvah is Hutra, just like Tumas, the Isser Tumas Mace is Hutra for Mace Mitzvah, Rashi says Tumas Mace is also Hutra for Kohanim to their Krovim. We point that out, which is in contrast to the Rambam, who we developed in the first approach.
Cases, the Katu, no?
What?
In both of these cases, it's Gzerat HaKatuv. Rashi is not just saying, oh, Hutra.
Okay, but there are other cases. The Rashi, we'll read those in just a moment. We know the Gzeras Akasa, which says that the mitzvah of Mila is Docha Shabbos. The Karbanos are Docha Shabbos. That's Gzeras Akasa. Yet we don't call them Hutra. Ase Docha Lo Sase. I was going to say. That's also Gzeras Akasa.
1 second in all the Shabbos.
What? What does that matter? Let's see. Let's read. Binyamin, let's read Tosas Dir Maslashay Valtasa Shine. So again, Tosas is going to ask this Kasha. He's going to quote Rashi, and then he's going to ask a question in Rashi, which we're going to have to answer. Binyamin? Right, so the question we just asked, the Gemara is ignoring the problem that Kavod HaBrios of Beis Mitzvah is Doche the Isser Tumah Bekum Vaseh. Period. Right? So Rashi's answer is Hutra. Now Tosas is going to reject this. V'lo nihira.
V'lo nihira deim ken kol makom da'amri sha'ase doche lo ta'ase likeshe ve'al ta'ase. V'ach kari le... Dechuya.
Yeah, they take out... I don't know if it was v'hadar, but I think they take out that line about she'al ta'ase, because that's... Is it v'hadar? Take that out? Or no? Did I make that up?
Yeah, maybe, yeah.
Right, I forget. Exactly. It's, yeah. So forget the Shevat Ta'aseh part. But the question is, whenever you have a clash between an Ase and a Lo Saseh, when the rule is that Ase overrides the Lo Saseh, Tosafot is saying, why do you call it Dechia, which is Mashmah, there's a clash and there's an overriding? Ema.
Ema she'eno Dechuya de'atam lo ne'emar alav.
Just say what? Just say Hutra.
Yeah.
Happens to be, it's a big machokas, but whether Ase Docha Lo Saseh is B'toras Dechuya or B'toras Hutra. Tosas L'shita, some holds it as B'toras Dechuya, and therefore asks Kasha. Some are going to answer that question in Hanami. That's gufo what Ase Docha Lo Saseh is. But okay, that's a side point. But Tosas is clearly assuming that Ase Docha Lo Saseh is B'toras Dechuya, and therefore asking, if Ase Docha Lo Saseh B'toras Dechuya, so then why all of a sudden, Rashi, did you make up this idea that all of a sudden, when you have a clash between Meis Mitzvah and the Isser Tumah, Lakohen and Nazir, that it's Hutra? No, why don't you say it's Dechia? V'od, another kasha.
V'od, de'a mila v'tamid v'pesach d'tachu shabbat. K'damrin al perek elu dvarim al mamikre shabir Dechia.
Right, there too, you have this idea, you have a conflict between these mitzvos of Mila, Mila and Karbanos. Mila and Karbanos on the one hand, and then Shabbos on the other hand. We know that Mila and Karbanos are Docha Shabbos. Yet the Gemara always uses the Lashon of Dechiyah, as if there is a clash, but one overrides the other. Says Tosos, what do you mean? According to you, Rashi, you have this Yisod of Hutra. Why all of a sudden in this context of, you know, Mes Mitzvah and Tuma Kohen, there it's Hutra, but every other time you have a clash, all of a sudden there is a clash, it's Dechiyah? What's going on here? And this kasha is so strong for Tosas, he comes up with an alternative. But how we're going to defend Rashi?
Why didn't he ask on the case of Koris? Why isn't that also Hutra?
I mean, like all these cases, you're saying.
The case in the Gemara, where the Gemara has a kasha,
yeah,
as far as the days of Sheva Tasa, why?
You could have said the same.
The Gemara says it sounds like it's a Zerosakoso, Lachoso, we already know that.
I mean, you're saying Tosas could have asked on Rashi? Yeah.
The Gemara sounds like it's a Zerosakoso, so if.
And that's why
it's Zerosakoso, it means Hutra, so why isn't this Gemara also Hutra?
You're right, he could have asked on Rashi also. Right. Yeah, 100%. So the question, you can add to Tosas' questions, as Mordechai pointed out, is like, why does Rashi, and the first day in the Rashba, and the Meiri, and the Piskeri, why do they all say, all of a sudden, in this context, it's Hutra? So I saw, I put on the Marmakom, I was not sure if people got to it, there's a Pnei Yoshua, who gives a beautiful pshat, in terms of why here specifically do we say Hutra, and why in other contexts is it Dechi, right? Says Pnei Yoshua, and says the difference between this case of Meis Mitzvah clashing with the Isser Tuma, the Kohen, and the Nazir, and all the other clashes, it says Pnei Yeshua, in this context, the Heter for Meis Mitzvah is derived from the Parsha itself of the Isser. The same, right? Remember, the Drasha comes from La'achosa, Lo Yitama. The same Pasuk which mentions the Isser, that a Nazir should not be mitame to his relatives, and introduces the Isser Tuma Lekohen LeNazir, that same Pasuk is the one that says through the Drasha that, oh, by the way, B'makom Meis Mitzvah it's Mutter. So says Pnei Yeshua, when the Heter comes from the same Pasuk as the Isser, so that's an internal exception. That's saying that B'chi HaGavna, the Isser doesn't apply at all, it's a Hutra. But in all other cases that Tosas asked from, and the case that Mordechai just asked from, those are two different partios from the Torah. Let's say Tosas' case. The mitzvah of Mila, and then you have a mitzvah of Shabbos. Two different partios. That's a clash. Or in the case of Asidah Chalosa, say, let's say the classic. There's tzitzis, and then there's kilayim. Those are two different partials. That's a clash. It says the Pnei Yeshua only in the context of Meis Mitzvah versus Isser Latuma, Lekohen LeNazir, where the heter comes from the same exact parsha. So that's not an external clash. Two values, what overrides the other? That's an internal exception. We call Hutra. To say that the Isser Tuma itself is, but the Torah is saying, by the way, this Isser Tuma, which I'm applying to Nazir and Kohen, that doesn't apply to Torah's Hutra at all in the case of Meis Mitzvah. It was like a beautiful idea of the Pnei Yeshua, that when Heter comes from the source of the Isser, so that's an internal exception, that's an idea of Hutra. All the other cases, which are Dechiyah, those are two different partials, and that's a clash. Okay? There was like a very important answer Pnei Yeshua to explain why Rashi Udime, why the Rashi the first day in the Rashba, the Meiri and Piskare, why are they all of a sudden applying Hutra here and everywhere else it's Dechiyah? Answer is because here the Heter of Meis Mitzvah comes from the same Pasuk of the Isser, so it's basically saying, the Torah is basically saying that B'chiyai Gavna B'mako Meis Mitzvah, this Isser doesn't apply at all to Torah's Hutra. In the last couple of minutes, I'll just mention the second approach in the Rishonim. The second approach in the Rishonim started off by Tosos. Yeah, the first approach, that it's the reason why the case of Mesa Mitzvah being Matir, the Isser of Tumah Lekohen LeNazir, the reason why that's not, the reason why it's in Soser, all the earlier climbs because of Torah Sotra, as the first approach. The second approach says that, no, the reason why it's different is because these Isurim, the Isurim of the Isser Tumah for Kohen and Nazir, are more kal, are less chamor isur. And let's see, Tosos is going to say this. Michal, do you have a Gemara hat? Yeah. See, Tosfos says Elanira. Remember, right after Tosfos rejects Rashi's first mahalach of Hutra, he's going to have to present. Okay, so then why are these cases different? Why is it that the Kavod HaBrios of Meis Mitzvah is able to be docha these Isurei Tuma, even though it's an Isur de Oraisa, Bikum Ba'asai? Elanira. Right, so why is Nazir different? Why could we not learn out the fact that Kavod HaBrios is Docha Nazir, the fact that Kavod HaBrios can be Docha other Yisurim? No! Nazir is more Kal. Why? Yeshno B'she'ela. What does that mean? Exactly. Because the Nazir could perform the mechanism of She'ela, which undermines his Naziris L'mafraya. So therefore, it's the Isser. Exactly. The Isser is not permanent. Right? It's not a permanent Isser for the Nazir, because it's Biyado to undermine the Isser. And V'chei Mikoen. So why is the Isser Tumo for Kohen more Kal? Because Eino Shava B'Kol. What does that mean?
Not everyone has.
Right, it's limited to Kohanim. This idea, the fact that this Isser only applies to Kohanim, doesn't apply to everybody, this notion of Eino Shava B'Kol makes it more Kal. So again, we don't have time to discuss why is it that these factors of Nitan L'She'ela and Eino Shava B'Kol, why does that make it more Kal? We don't, again, have a whole discussion
why
here about... right, why it makes it more Kal, either it's like a simen, these factors of Eino Shava B'Kol or Nitan L'She'ela could either be a simen or a siba to being more kal. I don't have time to explain right now. But suffice it to say, what the second approach in the sugya that adopted by Tosfos and the Rashba's second daya is this idea that the reason why this case is different is because these Isurim are more kal. The Isur Tumah for a Nazir and the Isur Tumah of the Kohen, they're more kal, either because for the Kohen it's Eino Shava B'Kol, or because of the Nazir, it's Nitan L'She'ela. Those two factors make it more Kal. So therefore, just because Kavod HaBrios of Meis Mitzvah is Docha, these more Kal Yisurim, you can't then extrapolate it to other Yisurim, which are more Chamor. So I'm going to conclude, and then I'll take Daniel's point. The Tzlach, or Al Hatar, or in Chaf HaMelef, points out a very significant nafka mina between the two different approaches. Again, approach number one is that the reason why this case is different is because it's Hutra. Approach number two is that this case is different because the Yisurim are more Kal. Says that Tzach, a huge Nafka Mina is another case of Kavod HaBrios other than Meis Mitzvah. Right? The case at hand we're talking about is the Kavod HaBrios of Meis Mitzvah. Let's say there's another case of Kavod HaBrios which is coming up against the Isser Tumah for Kohen and Nazir. Let's play it out. According to Rashi, the only reason why these Isurim are the only reason why these Isurim don't apply in the case of Meis Mitzvah is because of the Hutra. Hutra, as pointed out before, is a specific dynamic between these Isurim and the mitzvah of Meis Mitzvah. So, according to Rashi, this exception of the Isurei Tuma for Kohen and Nazir, it's specific to the Kavod HaBrios of a Meis Mitzvah, where you have this internal dynamic of Hutra. But if there's another Kavod HaBrios because of something, some other case, which maybe we'll discuss next week, that's not going to apply Hutra, that's going to be regular Dechia, and therefore it's going to be subject to the general rules. But according to the second Mahalach of Tosos and the second day of the Rashba, that's not a din in the specific dynamic between Meis Mitzvah and these Isurim. It's just that these Isurim are more Kal because of Eino Shava B'Kol and Nitan L'Sheila. So then any Kavod HaBrios would be able to be Doche, these more Kal Isurim. So I thought it's a great nafka mina to highlight the difference between these two different approaches. If you take the Hutra approach, it's limited to Meis Mitzvah. But if you take the approach that's all about these Yisurim being more Kal, so then any type of Kavod HaBrios would be Dochet, these more Kal Yisurim. And it comes up with other cases of Kavod HaBrios that the Poskim discuss. We'll pick it up maybe next week.